Greet you all in the worthy name of Christ this morning. O Lord my God, how great thou art. How great is he? Solomon in his prayer says, "Behold, heaven and the heaven of heavens cannot contain thee. How much less this house which I have built." And we know that Solomon's temple that he built was a magnificent building. I'm not sure what to compare it with in today's setting, but it was magnificent. And Solomon just acknowledged, you know, this house, it doesn't contain you. It's simply a place where we offer sacrifices to this great God. I'd like to look at several examples in Scripture where it talks about the unified worship. In 2 Chronicles 5, I was reading this past week, of when they brought the ark to the temple for the dedication and the unified worship that took place. So I'll be reading several verses here. 2 Chronicles 5, 11 through 14. They brought the ark. And it says, "And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified and did not then wait by course. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph, of Heman, and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, and with them 120 priests sounding with trumpets. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, and praised the Lord, saying, For he is good, for his mercy endureth forever, that then the house was filled with the cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God." Now, I think that's a beautiful picture, the unity of worship here. Now, Asaph, we have a number of psalms that are written by Asaph, and Heman and Jeduthun are also mentioned in some of those. I think this was an elite singing group. They knew how to use their instruments and how to sing. And it says, the trumpeters and singers were as one. Notice that unity. Now, they didn't all make the same sound. When you blow with a trumpet and when you use vocal cords, it's not the same sound, but they were unified. It says, to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And this morning when we were singing, you know, we have harmony coming forth. It's not everyone on lead, not everyone on bass. And yet there's a unity of sound that comes. And I trust that it's not just a unity of sound, but it's a result of unity of hearts. I have never been involved in an ugly church split. But I find it hard to imagine that there's a true sense of worship when there is this division among people. I think true worship happens when there is unity. And it's important to be unified. In Acts, we have another account. This was after Jesus' ascension. In verse 14 of Acts 1, it says, well, it gives the list of the 11 apostles. And then it says, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. And the next verse says there were a total of 120 people. And then the decision was made to add someone else to take Judas Iscariot's place with the disciples. And in the next chapter, we have the day of Pentecost. And I'll be reading several verses there, chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Think, when people are united in their worship and in seeking after God, beautiful things happen. It happened at the dedication of the temple. The temple was filled with the glory of God. Here we have the Lord giving direction in finding a replacement for Judas Iscariot. And then later in chapter 2, the coming of the Holy Spirit on the people. In Jonah, we have another example of people who are united in seeking after God in repentance. In Jonah chapter 3, it says, "So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, 'Yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown.' So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne, and he laid his robe from him and covered him with sackcloth and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, 'Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything. Let them not feed nor drink water. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn every one from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not?' And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said that he would do unto them, and he did it not." And so we see a beautiful thing happening as people in unison fasted and prayed and sought after God and repented. Now, I'm not sure what sounds were in the city during this time. If you keep feed and water from the cattle, usually there's bawling and mooing and stuff going on if they're hungry and thirsty. But this, I think, was simply showing how serious these people took it in seeking after God. They were united. If you're walking along or driving along and you see, let's say, 20 people out, and they're all looking at something out across the fields, where's your attention going to go? What are they looking at? And you look at that direction as well. Now, you won't be as likely to do that if one's looking this way, one this way, and there's no unity there. They're all looking in different direction. Then you're just going to say, well, there's really nothing to focus on here. They're all looking different directions. In John 17, in the high priestly prayer, Christ specifically says that when there is unity, when there is oneness in the brotherhood, people will see Jesus. And so this morning the question is, are we unified in our focus? When people look at us, are we looking at different directions and there's really nothing to catch their attention to stop and look at? Or are we focused on our worship of God, and when people see it, they want to look at that direction too? What are we looking at? I trust that is what we can be doing. How to be unified? One of the things is to remember, we are not the object of attention. Whether you're up here in this position or if you're sitting in the benches, not one of us is to be the object of attention. We need something bigger. remember the example that Brian Buntrager gave several years ago, talked about unity. And if you have a bunch of small steel balls and you have them in a bag, is that unity, or is it more unity if you have a strong magnet in the center and all of them clump around the magnet? And I like that picture of we're all attracted to the magnet. We're all focused, pulling towards something. And I trust that can be our experience this morning. Invite your attention to song number 8. Together we seek thee. I'd like to sing this song. I'd like to sing verses 1 and 4 in unison. Song number 8, verses 1 and 4 in unison, 2 and 3 in parts.
Together we seek thee, we turn to thy face. Great God of salvation, redemption and grace, for this whole congregation has knowledge of sin. We plead thee, we need thee for brightness within. Lord, how can we seek thee unless thou dost draw? For we have rejected and broken thy law, but in goodness thou leadest all men to repent. Through faith in the Savior, the Son thou hast sent. Lord, how can we praise thee enough for thy love in sending this Savior from heaven above? When by faith each poor sinner becomes God's own heir, to
invite you to kneel in prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You alone are worthy of our worship and our focus and attention. And this morning we just want to adore you for who you are. Lord, help us as a body to be united in our hearts. As one, worshiping you, you alone are worthy. Lord, I just pray that you would help us throughout the week in our different occupations and the diversity that is here, yet we're all focused on you and that draws us together. We praise you, we worship you. May you alone be glorified. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.